Hey, what's going on? Thank you for joining me again for yet another episode of Ambassadors Inspired to Inspired. I'm your host, Brother Tracy, Minister Tracy, Evangelist Tracy, whichever one, but I am your brother. I am Brother Tracy, and I'm here. So, you all, as I said, I am determined. I'm going to finish these 30 days. I am going to finish this. I'm on day 25. What would be considered as day 25. So I was reading over the 30-day marriage prayer referencing Dr. Tony Evans. It's been awesome. And, you know, but I'm going to finish. There are other things that I want to do, but I got to finish this. God is pressing me to finish. I started something and I got to finish it. You gotta finish it. So this would be considered day 25. Y'all only got a few more days after this, of this 30 day, and we are done. And we're moving on to the next thing that God has in store for us. So I'm not going to be reading everything word for word from that 30 day, but I'm going to just, you know, because that'll be plagiarism. So I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to talk about it. We're going to pray, and then we're going to move on, right? So let's as usual, you know what I'm going to say. Let's just jump right into today's topic, talking about refuge. So what is refuge? Refuge, by definition, just going to point out two things, two areas, safety and recourse. Safety, as far as a place, a shelter from danger or hardship. Recourse, an act of turning to something or someone for assistance or security. Let me say that again. Safety, a safe place, a shelter from danger or hardship. Recourse, act of turning to something or someone for assistance or security. So that says a lot. Just right there, the definition alone, right? So let's just jump right into the scripture. So what does it say here? In Psalms 32, and you know, and I love reading from the Amplified Version. So when it says, "You are my hiding place. You, Lord, protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs and shouts of deliverance." Selah. Right? So Selah, some believe, let me pause in there. So Selah, some believe that this word doesn't have a definitive meaning, while other theologians, they believe it has multiple meanings, such as to pause, praise, amplify, or forever. So when looking at the context of the verse or this word, the people stopped what they were doing, rendered sacred songs or poems used to worship God, lifting their voices and exalting him in high regard. For how long? Forever. Why? Why? Because they were taking refuge in him back then, just as we're supposed to today and forevermore. Let's go. So let's listen to the next verse. Now this one right here, you all, this verse right here, Psalms 34, verse 8, it really had me going kind of back and forth and just looking at the possible definition of the word, you know, looking at the Greek word, the Hebrew word, things of that nature, because it was so much into it when we begin to talk about being God being our refuge. We even had him being our refuge in our relationship, in our marriage, and just life alone, him being our refuge. So the scripture says in Psalms 34 and 8 in the Amplified Version, this is what it says. It says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord, our God, is good. How blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the man who takes refuge in him." Y'all, that is a lot. That is a lot. Just considering the first part, oh, taste and see. So when I was thinking about that, I was like, okay, oh, taste and see. What does that mean? That means I had to open my mouth and I had to, this is the first part. This is what really came to my mind. I had to open my mouth to put something in to see what it tastes like. Right? To judge it, like, you know, or I had to consider even putting it in my mouth to taste it and to judge it. What did I perceive? You know, I perceived based on this. Then I put it in my mouth And then I had a judgment. And then I was able to see, like, oh man, that whatever it was either good or it was bad. You know what I'm saying? I had to do so till now. I'm just setting that up right there. Setting that up right there in itself. So I ran across these two words, right? Both in the Greek and the Hebrew. And I was really trying to understand, because what I was keying in on Psalms 34 and 8, when it said, Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Oh, taste and see. So it was really there. I was just like really keyed in on oh, taste and see. So the Greek and Hebrew word for these two words, ta'am, right? It's T-A apostrophe, right? And then A-M, and then raha, R-A apostrophe A-H. So taste, right? Meaning judgment. We said taste, decision, decree. Tama also means something like discernment or common sense. Common sense reasoning. Raha, and I'm trying to pronounce this as best I possibly can. And now when I looked at this word and looking at the definition of it, it just amazed me, and why I had to really, or why I was focused in on old taste and see based on these two words. So check out raha, right? To see, to look at, to inspect, to perceive, to consider. And then, you know how you look at definition, and, you know, give you like, there's like this list of other examples and meanings of the word. So one of the definitions or explanation of this word, it caught my attention, and it says to see, to observe, consider, look at, give attention to, discern, distinguish. So I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, okay, God. So the writer was saying, just jump right in, boom, in our face, and said, I want you to make a decision. I want you to make a decision. And then I want you to be able to discern. So make a decision and discern that the Lord our God is good. Oh, taste and see. So oh, taste and see is in the simplicity of our mind. We think about our tongue when we taste something. It's like, right? That's so good. That didn't taste so bad, right? So we had to taste and find out and perceive and discern that it wasn't good or that it was good. So he jumped right in. He jumps right in and he says, make a decision. Decide. Decide and see. Discern and see. Make a decision and discern that the Lord our God is good. And that we're able, when you make that decision and discern and see that God is good, right? That he is, and how blessed and fortunate and prosperous and favored by God is the man, meaning us, mankind, man, woman, child, who takes refuge in him. And what did I say about refuge? Refuge in the beginning means what? Safety, right? A safe place. A shelter from danger or hardship, an act of turning to something or someone for assistance or security. So we're saying, I need you to decide and see and discern that God is good, that you are able, that we are able to run to him and hide and allow him to be our shelter. Allow him to be the one to protect us, right? From hurt, harm, and danger. To run to him when we need assistance. To see that how good he is. Perceive. To be able to perceive how good God is. To be able to perceive that he is our shelter. to be able to perceive that he's our protector, to be able to perceive and discern that, and we made a decision that he's going to be our Lord, our Savior, that he's going to be the one who keeps us, that he's going to be the one to protect us, that he's the one that's going to give us assistance to provide. He is the one. So he said, so it just really stood out to me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord our God is a safe place, a shelter from danger or hardship. Oh, taste and see the Lord our God is the God that we're able to turn to, that we're able to seek him for assistance and security. And then we take the other portion when he said, just pause for a moment. Selah, to be able to sit there and pause and praise him and to glorify him through song and through praise for who he is, for being our present help, for being our refuge, that we're able to hide underneath him, that we're able to take the concerns of our relationship, of our marriage, and take it to him for assistance, take it to him for guidance, to take it to him for safety, to take it to him for a shelter, depending upon him for everything. And I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, wow, all of that, just out of, oh, taste and see. So then there's another scripture, right? Psalms 46:1-3. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Oh my goodness. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains be shaken and slip into the earth of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its roaring. Selah. So let's pause right there. Let's pause right there and amplify and give God the glory. Because right then and there, and when he said God is our refuge, he's our safe place. He's our shelter. He's our place of safety and strength. Mighty and impenetrable. You can't get through him. And once his protection is there, set around us, nothing is getting through him. Once that is right there, and we accept it. And so now the writer went on to give different examples of based upon on current day situations or even modern day situations, that no matter what we experience on this earth, no matter what we experience, that we are able to take refuge in God, no matter what goes on. You know, I don't like tornadoes. I don't like thunder. I don't like lightning. And every time it begins to rain and thunder, I'm like, man, I'm going on my mind. I'm thinking about scriptures. I'm thinking about, what is it? The Lord Jesus rebuked the storms and command peace to be still. Man, I am on that. I am on that scripture, like white on rice. I am on it, because now what am I doing? I'm applying the word of God, as my refuge, as my safe place. I'm seeking him for assistance. I'm believing and trusting in him that no matter what's going on here on the earth, right? No matter what's going on here on the earth, that I'm able to take shelter in him and believe that he's going to protect me. He said his word would not return unto him void without accomplishing that which he said. So when he said God is our refuge and our strength, mighty and impenetrable, right? And even when it says here that when the earth should change, though the mountains shake and slip into the heart of the sea, though the waters are roaring and foam, and though the mountains tremble, pause. Selah, pause. Trust in the Lord God Almighty through Christ Jesus, and believe that he is our safety. He is our safe place. He's our shelter. He's our provider. He's God with us. That no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We just got to trust in him and realize that he's our refuge. When your marriage and relationships are facing all types of situations, when you don't know what you want to do, that we got to stop and pause and glorify God through Christ Jesus and believe in him that no matter what's going on, that he is going to give us the assistance. Because when Christ left, he left for us the Holy Spirit, the one alongside. So that no matter what's going on, I mean, no matter what my carnal mind may feel like I can accept, but things that I don't want to deal with, then we look at the relationships and we say, okay, man, my husband, my wife, they're cheating. My husband and my wife, they have an addiction. My husband and my wife, they're talking to me this type of way. My husband and my wife, they're doing these types of things. Lord God, I don't understand. God, what should I do? Or let's make it, we don't always want to be the victim. Sometimes we're the victimizer. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, I keep hurting my spouse. I keep hurting my spouse because of my addiction. I keep hurting my spouse because I'm out here cheating. I keep hurting my spouse because I'm being disobedient to your word. Lord God, change me. Not change me for them. Change me for you. Change me for you that I line up with who you say I am, so that my spouse may reap the benefits of my obedience unto you, because you are my refuge. You are the one that I take safety in. You are the one that I look for assistance. You are the one that I turn to. You are the one. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is none before you and there is none after you. You created me and put me on this earth that I may be able to do what you want me to do, that I am a vessel that you allow the Holy Spirit to work in me and through me, that you'll be glorified. Now help me in the course of this relationship that I have entered into a covenant called marriage, that I may represent you and be the man or woman, the husband or wife that you called me to be, that I may represent you here on the earth, and in the course of my representation of you here on the earth, that my spouse and those around me will reap the benefits of my obedience and loyalty and commitment unto you. And I get all of that when I repent and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Now, God, help me, change me, renew a right spirit in me, change my mind, change the way that I think, because you said my thoughts are not your thoughts. So help me walk along the way. Help me that I'm able to serve unto you, to my spouse. Help me that I may be able to represent you in my marriage. Help me in the courtship of my relationship that's leading to marriage, that my relationship in the courtship, the wooing in the relationship represents the wooing of the Holy Spirit and draws me to you. But in the wooing in the courtship of my relationship, let my future husband or wife see you, and that I may see you in them, that when we come together, we're on one accord, that we're walking together, that we are in agreement. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? Agreement unto who? First and foremost, unto God. So God, help me be my refuge, be my current help, be the one that guides me and assists me and shows me how that I'm to represent you here on earth as it is in heaven, that others may see you. So change me, Lord God. Change me as I take refuge in you, because you're my strength. You are mighty. You are impenetrable. Nothing can get through you. Once your hands are around me, once there's a hedge of protection around me, nothing can touch me, because I place my trust in the refuge of you, Christ Jesus. And I thank you for this opportunity. See, this is where we have to get at. This is where we have to get at. So God, help us along the way. Help us along the way. Change us that we represent you. Change us so you can use us here. Change us so we represent you. Don't change us so that we can fit the needs of what that person is asking for, but change us so that we represent you, that in our obedience to you, that you use us to meet the needs of the person next to us, because you changed us. And because we are submitting unto you, God, I just thank you for that opportunity. And see, now before we go to this, to the end of this, I want to bring something out, right? And this may sound a little harsh for some people, but if there's a reality in this, right? I want us to consider something. No one takes care of something, right? That is, that he or she doesn't consider their own, or that doesn't want to be with them. That's a harsh reality. It is a truth. Nobody wants to say, nobody wants to be around somebody who don't want to be around them, right? And you don't want to do nothing for somebody that you don't think that belongs to you, or that's with you, that's walking alongside of you. You don't want to do those things, right? So now let's take that. That's the carnal, that's the world mentality of looking at things. Right? So consider this. You want God to do something for you, but you don't belong to him. And you're like, wait a minute. Yes, I do. He created us. Ah, yes, he did. But in his creation of us, right, there's a requirement that he has of us, that we are, so that we will be considered as children and sons of God, not just servants acknowledging him, but sons of God. And I want to just say, and if I could put it in quotation marks and parentheses, and also daughters of God, right? There's a commandment that he gave us. He gave us the commandment to repent. Yes, the commandment to repent. Let's check out Acts. Right? Let's check out Acts 17 and 30. Let's see here. Let's see. And of course, I told you I'm going to the Amplified. Let's see here. All right. So Acts 17 and 30 says, therefore, God overlooked, let me read this before. Okay, there it is. Therefore, God overlooked and disregarded the former ages of ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. That is to change their old way of thinking, to regret their past sins, and to seek God's purpose for their lives. You can't get no plainer than that. Let me read that again. Acts 17 and 30 in the Amplified Version. It says, therefore, God overlooked and disregarded the former ages of ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. That is to change their old way of thinking, to regret their past sins, and to seek God's purpose for their lives. Can't get no simpler than that. He also says, accept, believe, and confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Oh, okay. Fact check there. Let's go to Romans, right? Romans 10. Some of you are already familiar with this. Well, we're going to read Romans 10, 9 through 10. And then we're going to end this. Let's get there. Amplified. Because if you acknowledge and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, recognizing his power, authority, and majesty as God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes in Christ as Savior, resulting in his justification, that is being made righteous, being freed of the guilt of sin and made acceptable to God. And with the mouth, he acknowledges and confesses his faith openly, resulting in and confirming his salvation. You can't get no simpler than that. So when I said, and looking at him being like, hey, man, if you knew somebody belonged to you and they came to you, and they needed help, and they needed safety, they needed protection, they needed provision, you would do everything that you got to do. Now, I'm not saying you just turn your back on those who don't. You might do a little something. But when you know for sure that one belonged to you. Oh, you gonna flip some tables. You gonna kick down some doors. You know what I'm saying? Say you got a child and something happened to your child. Somebody done molly whopped upside your kid's head. You know what I'm saying? You gonna make sure that you protect your child. Or if your child is running, your child running down to you because there's a dog coming and they yelling, "Mom, Dad, open the door, the dog, the dog, the dog, the dog." You're not going to sit on the couch and be like, "Ah, he'll be all right, he'll get in the door." Especially if you hear him or her calling you, "Mom, Dad," you know your child's voice. Catch that. You know your child's voice and your child know your voice. So your child running down the street, "Mom, Dad, help the dog. The dog, open up the door. Open up the door." You're going to hear that and you're going to get up and you're going to open up the door and let them into safety because they belong to you. So why don't we expect a thing different from God? He wants you. And there's a requirement that all they ask of you to repent and accept and believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that you be counted as his. Let that sink in for a little while. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I repent from the sins I've committed, and I ask that you forgive me. I accept, believe, and confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Help me to live a life that I take refuge in you and your strength and your might, and knowing that you are impenetrable. Father God, and I thank you for being my ever-present refuge and my help, that I'm able to take shelter and safety in you. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Y'all, I appreciate you for joining me again. Look here, now we're getting ready to head on day 26. We're about finished. Praise the Lord. Gonna be a finisher. So thank y'all again for joining me here on Ambassadors Inspired to Inspire. Talk to you later. God bless.